and a drop of sweat glided down my back. This was my favorite place. It was weighted with history and filled with a thousand corners and small spaces. As a kid, I'd climbed around inside, exploring and getting lost for hours. I shut off the car, the headlights going dead, and I stepped out, the smell of earth drifting through my nostrils. This place felt more like home than any other. Slamming the door shut, I gripped my mask in my hand and watched Rika climb out of the G-Class. Her nervous eyes kept glancing up at the dark and silent cathedral, and her chest rose and fell faster. She was scared. Good. I let my eyes fall down her outfit once again, having got a good look before we left the house, too. She wore her navy blue and forest green plaid skirt and a white blouse fitted with a matching plaid tie under a navy blue vest. On her feet were black flats. She'd even combed out her hair and put on a little makeup to freshen up. I think she had an idea of what was in store when I told her to wear the outfit, but she was definitely surprised when I told her to get in the car. And now, a little frightened, I gazed at her legs, my cock swelling at the memory of how smooth they were and how warm it was between them. My heart started to race. "Let's go down to the catacombs," I nodded toward the cathedral. "No blindfold this time." I smirked, keeping my expression hard. I didn't want her to feel safe. She dropped her chin, searching the ground for a way out. Should she say no? Should she ask another question I wasn't going to answer? Or would she play? She raised her eyes and swallowed, a look of defiance crossing her face. And I held back a smile, seeing her turn and start walking toward the side entrance. Lifting up the mask, I slid it down over my face and walked slowly behind her, stalking, not following. I stared at her back, taking step after step, slow and steady as she walked briskly, stumbling over rocks and uneven ground. She twisted her head, looking over her shoulder, and her face fell, taking notice of the mask. But she turned back around quickly and kept walking, rolling with it. My breath filled the inside of the mask, and I could feel a light layer of sweat breaking out over my forehead. The backs of her thighs, the few inches I could see, were making my hands ball into fists. I wanted to slide my fingers up the back of her skirt and touch skin that I knew felt like butter. The top of her hair glowed in the soft light from the moon, and every time her nervous glances over her shoulder hit me, it made my heart beat faster. "I'm going to make you scream." She stepped slowly into the cathedral through the door, now hanging on its hinges, and stopped, looking around. But we weren't sightseeing. I planted my hand on her back and shoved her forward.
"Mike!"
she gasped out, losing her voice. She jerked her head around, shaking it as she breathed hard.
"I don't think we should..."
But I immediately reached out and grabbed her neck, cutting her off and shoving her backward again.
"Michael!"
Her breaths rushed in and out, loud and fast, and she hurriedly backed away from me, her eyes wide with fright. She swallowed, holding my stare, and I could tell she was definitely fucking scared now. Then, I narrowed my eyes, seeing her hand absently drop to the inside of her thigh. Jesus. She was so fucking turned on, she was about to rub one out right here. She quickly pulled her hand away, probably realizing the impulse she'd had. I jerked my head toward the entrance to the catacombs, remaining silent. She hesitated, shifting her eyes side to side, but turned anyway and started walking. She didn't trust me, but she wanted to. We reached the entrance, cool air drifting up and seeping through my jeans and hoodie. She paused.
There's no...
She twisted her head to the side, talking to me.
There's no light.
I stood behind her, looking down at the top of her head and waiting. I didn't care if there was any light. She seemed to realize that when I didn't say anything. Taking a deep breath, she stepped down, slowly finding the next stair as she grazed her hand along the wall to our right, using it to guide and steady her. With every step she took, my cock grew harder. Reaching the bottom of the stairs, she turned her head again, looking to me with a question in her eyes. It was nearly pitch black down here, some moonlight seeping in from cracks in the ceiling. The chilled silence of the tunnels to the left and right closed in on us like walls, and I wondered if there was anyone else down here. Walking into her, I forced her backward into the vault ahead of me, the same room I'd taken her to 3 years ago. Her footsteps picked up, and she entered the chamber ahead of me, her fair hair the only thing I could make out in the darkness.
Michael?
She called.
Where are you?
Taking out a lighter, I pushed the button and lit the small candle on the wall sconce by the doorway. The soft glow barely filled the room, but it was enough to see her. I stalked toward her, noticing that the mattress that was here last time was now gone and replaced with a small wooden table.
Are there people down here?
She breathed out.
I hear something.
I kept approaching her, grabbing the string from my hoodie and pulling it out. The wind blew through the cracks and crevices, making it sound as if there were whispers in the tunnels, but she didn't realize that's all it was. Her senses were heightened because of the fear.
Michael?
I grabbed her hands, hearing her small cry as I wrapped the black cord around her wrists, binding them together and tying a knot.
Michael, what are you doing? She demanded. Say something!
I took her bound arms and pulled them over her head, hooking them over another sconce high on the wall. She was forced onto her tiptoes, her body now long, tight, and stretched out.
Michael!
She twisted and squirmed. I stood flush with her and looked down into her eyes as I reached down and grabbed the bottom of her little sweater vest and the white shirt that peeked out of the bottom of it. Lifting both, I pulled them up, including her bra, and pushed them over the top of her breasts to sit high on her chest.
Michael, no! She protested. I hear something, and I'm cold.
I dropped my eyes, looking at her perfect breasts, a little more than a handful, and her nipples as hard as bullets. I can tell. I dived down, ripping the mask off and taking one of her breasts in my mouth, cupping it in my hand and covering the nipple with my mouth. I wrapped an arm around her, holding her close as she squirmed in my hold. Flicking the hard bud with my tongue, I played, nibbling the soft skin around her nipple and eating her up as I enjoyed free rein to touch and fondle her. I groaned. Shifting my head to the other side, I snatched up her other breast and left deep, hungry kisses everywhere, taking her into my mouth and dragging her sweet skin out through my teeth. Her body shifted, and she dropped her head back, moaning. I stood back upright and grabbed the back of her hair in one hand, reaching down with my other and slipping my fingers into her panties. Flicking her mouth with my tongue, I looked down into her blue eyes. Not so cold now, I teased, my fingers engulfed in heat. "You're nice and hot down here." It was spilling out of her, she was so wet. Taking my hands off her, I backed away and gazed at her beautiful form. One of her shoes had fallen off, and the other was only half on. Her smooth, flat stomach and tits were on display as she stood completely helpless, just for me. Dropping to one knee in front of her, I looked up, locking eyes with her, and slid my hands under her skirt. My cock twitched at the feel of the pink lace panties she had on. Light pink. So sweet. Lifting up her skirt, I tongued her clit through her panties, feeling the hard little nub through the fabric.
"Oh, God!"
she cried. Pulling the lace aside, I hesitated only for a moment, taking in her bare pussy and flawless skin before I covered her with my mouth, sucking on her clit and dragging my tongue up her length. Pushing up her thighs, I lifted her feet off the ground and dived in, burying my tongue in her cunt.
"Please,"
she begged, moaning and trying to twist out of my hold.
"Michael, no."
I flicked her clit one more time and pulled back, grabbing her panties and pulling them slowly down her legs. "You told me no?" I challenged. "You don't like a little tongue in your pussy?" Her body shook, and her breaths were shallow. I stood up, tossing her panties to the side, and then reached up to grab her wrists, pulling them off the sconce. "Yeah, I know you liked it," I bit out. "And you're damn well going to get it." I palmed my cock through my jeans, feeling it ache with the release I hadn't yet had. My pulse throbbed in my neck, and I grabbed her arms, whipping her around and pushing her down on the ground.
"Michael!"
she shrieked, landing on her ass with her hands still tied in front of her. I lowered to my knees, standing above her, as I pulled off my hoodie and t-shirt. Then I pulled a condom out of my pocket and ripped it open. "You may think I fuck with your head," I said, looking down at her as I unbuckled my belt and unfastened my jeans. "But you don't know what you've done to me all these years." I came down on top of her, forcing her legs apart, as I pushed her arms back over her head and held her down with one hand. Rolling the condom on, I dragged my cock up and down her wet slit, finding her hot entrance. I breathed hard, whispering over her lips, "You don't know." And I thrust my hips, sliding my cock inside of her tight pussy.
"Oh, God!"
she groaned. I leaned down, holding my body flush with hers as I slid out and back in again, picking up pace. "You're so fucking hot inside," I growled, taking her lips and kissing her deep and hard. Her tongue brushed mine, sending a jolt straight to my cock. "So fucking tight." I slid my hand underneath her ass, holding her in place as I drove her into the dirt and fucked her.
"God damn,"
I gasped out, thrusting my hips again and again and again, pounding into her harder and faster. Her tits bounced back and forth as I slammed into her, burying my cock up to the hilt every time. She whimpered, her moans getting louder and louder, and I felt her clench around my cock, squeezing me like a steel band. My abs tightened, feeling my blood rush to my groin and the heat build in my dick. "Rika, fuck," I groaned. I was coming. Leaning my head down into her neck, I kept pounding her as I spoke in her ear. "Come on, you little slut," I growled low. "You're such a good fuck. Spread those legs for me." She squeezed her eyes shut, sucked in a breath, and threw her head back, my dirty words sending her over the edge.
"Oh, Michael! Oh, God!"
she cried out, stilling as I thrusted harder and harder. I squeezed her ass in my hand and pinched her jaw between my teeth. "Goddamn, Rika! So fucking good!" Leaning up, I watched her beautiful face as I dived inside of her wet heat over and over again. A blush spread across her cheeks, and she pinched her bottom lip between her teeth, enjoying every inch. My dick swelled, and then I thrust one more time before pulling out of her, ripping off the condom, and taking my cock in my hand, stroking it up and down until I spilled. My cum shot out, falling across her bare stomach and tits, and I tightened my abs, the pleasure too much. I'd never seen anything so fucking hot. Every muscle in my body warmed, and the fucking release went to my head and filled every inch of my skin. I tried to catch my breath and sat back on my heels, tucking my cock back into my jeans. But gazing down at her, I damn near wanted to go again. Her hands were still bound above her head, her tits looked entirely too inviting, and her schoolgirl skirt was pushed up. She blinked up at me, a small smile on her face.
"Can we do that again?"
I reached over, grabbing my sweatshirt to clean her up, and laughing under my breath. Such a little monster. I sat in the chair next to the bed, my elbows resting on the top of my knees as I leaned over, watching her sleep. Deathbeds by Bring Me the Horizon played softly from the iPod on the nightstand, and I balled one of my fists inside the other, last night playing over and over in my head. She'd passed out in the car on the way home from the catacombs, and I brought her in, undressed her, and put her in my bed. Why had I put her in my bed? Her leg peeked out of the gray sheets she was wrapped up in as she laid on her stomach with her head facing me. Her hair was all over the pillow and covering her eyes as her naked form lay silent and unmoving, only the small rise and fall of her body telling me that she was breathing. She was worn out. It made sense. She'd been through the ringer last night. I turned my head, seeing the sunlight shining through the windows out of the corner of my eye. Gritting my teeth, I turned back to her again. I wasn't ready for the day to start. I wasn't ready for the night to be over. The edges of her feet and calves had smudges of dirt. Her hair was matted with a bit of the dark soil from the catacombs as well, and I knew she had bruises on her hips from our round two down there. Bending her over that table had been nice. Her wrists had a burn from the string I'd wrapped around them, and I could make out the small red mark where I'd bitten her jaw. I didn't think I'd done it that hard, but she had the mark to prove it. And she'd never looked sexier. Ever. Her clothes lay in a filthy heap on the floor, including the lacy pink panties I'd had so much fun removing, and I dropped my eyes, wanting nothing more than to stop time. I'd never been with a woman who fed my lust like she had. I'd never role-played, worn my mask, played games, or anything like that with anyone. Fuck, feed, kiss, lick, moan, pump, come, and repeat. I'd gotten so fucking lost. But Rika was. I leaned back in the chair, running my hand through my hair, and unable to take my eyes off of her. She said she didn't trust me, but I knew it was a lie. I'd be willing to bet I was the one person she trusted the most. She and I were the same, after all. We fought shame every day, struggling with who we could let see the real us. And we'd finally found each other. Unfortunately, we were fucked. My phone buzzed from its charger on the nightstand, and I closed my eyes, trying to ignore it. I wasn't ready. I wanted to draw the blinds, pick her up, and put her in a bath. I wanted to see her ride me out by the pool and play more games with her. I wanted to pretend that I wasn't missing practice right now, that my friends weren't waiting for me, and that Rika's world wasn't about to fall apart. But my phone buzzed again, and I leaned forward, burying my head in my hands. Rika. The walls were closing in. I shouldn't be able to look at her. I shouldn't love to touch her, and I shouldn't need to feel her wrapped around my cock every second since I'd first had her last night. She wasn't mine. She would never be mine. And I shouldn't want her. I stood up and walked over to the bed, leaning down and studying her pretty face. Fuck you, Rika. Fuck you. I can't choose you. Why did you do this to me? I turned my head, reaching over to the nightstand and taking my phone. I had several missed calls, but I didn't bother listening to the voicemails or checking texts. I just typed one to Kai instead. Finish it. And I straightened, glaring down at her as I set the phone back down. Now it was done. And there was no going back. Chapter 17. Michael. 3 years ago. I turned into the gravel parking lot, the night lit up with the headlights of all the other partiers arriving. The warehouse had been abandoned long ago, but since it hadn't been slotted for use or torn down yet, we confiscated it every chance we got to let loose and raise a little hell. People brought kegs and liquor, and the town's wannabe youth DJs set up their systems, filling the night with rage and noise so loud we couldn't think even if we wanted to. This was what I'd been waiting for. Sure, I wanted to see how she'd hang with my friends. Could she keep up? Could she even manage to make a dent in our world? But what I really wanted was to get her away from my family, her mother, Trevor, and to just see her relax. I wanted to see who she was when she stopped caring what everyone else thought or expected of her. When she finally realized that my opinion was the only one that mattered. And even though she was always the one to watch me as we grew up, that didn't mean I wasn't always aware of her either. I still remembered the day she was born, 16 years, 11 months, and 18 days ago. That crisp November morning when my mother let me hold her, and then my father immediately took her out of my arms and laid her next to Trevor, who was just a baby then, too. Even at 3, I understood. She was Trevor's. And I just sat there, wanting her back, wanting to see the baby, and wanting to be included in the fun. But I didn't dare approach my father. He would have pushed me away. So I didn't care. I made sure never to care. So many times growing up, I tore my eyes away from her. I made sure not to think about it when she and Trevor hung out or had classes together, because they were the same age, and I made sure not to notice her in a room or feel her next to me. I made sure not to talk to her too much or be too nice and let her in. She was too young. We didn't travel in the same circles. My father would force me away from her. He took away everything that made me happy. Why bother? And when those excuses ate me up inside and turned anger into resentment and resentment into hatred, the day finally came when I really didn't care anymore. It didn't seem to faze her, though. The more I pulled away and treated her with impatience and distance, the more she pulled closer. So instead, I stayed away. I went off to college, and I rarely came home. I hadn't seen her in months before I walked into that classroom today and saw her sitting there, looking so grown up and beautiful. Like a fucking angel. I couldn't help it. I walked up to her, wanting to pull her up and take her with us. But when she raised her eyes, meeting mine, I knew I couldn't. I wouldn't stop if I did. I wouldn't be able to give her back. Why her? Why, despite my mother who always loved me, and my friends who always had my back, was it Erica Fain who put the air in my lungs and made my blood run hot? She always got to me. And when she showed up at the cathedral today, I was done denying the need to be close and done pushing her away. To hell with it. I may or may not let her in when all was said and done. But let's see where the night took us. I wasn't disappointed. She had a lot of guts, and my friends liked her, even though I could tell Damon was still trying to give her the cold shoulder. She was one of us.
God damn, I hope someone has grills going inside, Will complained as I pulled into a parking space. I'm still fucking hungry.
I kept my smile to myself. Every time he tried to eat tonight, we'd gotten sidetracked, and now we were too jacked up and wanted to drink. I shut off the engine, and everyone climbed out, Damon and Kai pulling off their sweatshirts and tossing them onto their seats, while Will gathered the masks and secured them in the duffel in the back of the car. Glancing over, I saw Rika stuff the jewelry under her seat, probably realizing it was safer in the car, and then slammed the door, walking toward the rear.
Come here, little monster.
Will pulled her around the back of the car. I watched them over my shoulder, seeing him raise his hand to her face, and it appeared as if he was putting something on it. He dragged his fingers down her skin, and then I spotted what was in his hand. Shoe polish. We kept it in the duffel in case a mask broke on one of our escapades and we needed to improvise. He finished and grinned at her.
War paint, he explained. You're one of us now.
She turned around, a small smile on her face. A smudgy black stripe traveled from the left side of her forehead, diagonally down her face, across her nose, and ended on the right side of her jaw. I crossed my arms over my chest, ignoring the rush in my chest. She looked badass. A few drops of rain landed on my face, and I heard excited laughter and yelps around us as people scurried through the parking lot, trying to get inside before the downpour started. Rika tipped her head back, cool drops glistening on her cheeks and forehead as her lips spread in a smile.
Let's go! Kai yelled.
I turned and walked for the warehouse, Kai and Damon at my sides, while Will and Rika followed behind. Entering the massive building was like stepping into a different world. The warehouse had been gutted years ago, and the steel beams 50 feet above our heads were rubbed raw of their paint by weather and time. Barely any walls remained, and the dilapidated roof had several large holes, making it easy for the rain, getting heavier by the minute, to pour in. We walked in slowly, taking in the chaos that resembled a small, post-apocalyptic underground city. However, despite the darkness, the raw feel of the unclean and cold metal, and the bonfire raging to the left as people danced to Devil's Night by Motionless in White, the madness here was better than any frat house party I'd attended at college. No one cared what they looked like. They were going to get dirty anyway. Everyone, including the girls, wore jeans and chucks. And you didn't really care about conversation either, because it was too loud to talk. No airs, no drama, no masks. Just music, rage, and noise. And eventually, when the high hit you just right, you'd find a girl, or she'd find you, and you'd disappear upstairs for a while.
People greeted us as we walked in, and without asking, 4 solo cups of beer showed up, a young girl smiling as she handed them off to us. "We need one more," I told her, and handed mine off to Rika. But before she had a chance to take it, arms circled her waist and she was pulled off the ground. She gasped and then broke into laughter, as her friend, Noah, who I remembered hanging around her when we were in high school, bounced her up and down in his arms. I tensed, wanting to take his fucking hands away. But then I remembered that not only were they friends, but he was also the reason she hadn't suffered more at the hands of Miles and Astrid at that party in the spring. So far, he had my trust.
"Well, what the hell, Rika?"
he bellowed, putting her back on her feet.
"You said this week that you didn't want to come out tonight."
And then his eyes snapped up to us, and he narrowed them as if just realizing.
"You're here with them? Are you okay?"
I nearly snorted. Turning around and leaving them to catch up, the guys and I walked off to find our table. A few teenagers were sitting at it, but as soon as they saw us approaching, they scurried out of the semicircle booth, which sat right in front of the makeshift dance floor, offering a perfect view. Damon grabbed the remaining kid, who trailed behind his friends, and yanked him out, sending him stumbling forward. I hooked my arms around the back of the booth, 4 more beers showing up at our table, just in time as Will finished his. The rain, glistening in the utility lights that were set up around the room, fell lightly through the roof, slowly wetting the hair of the dancers on the floor. Casting a quick glance over my shoulder, I saw Rika and Noah joined by another friend, a girl, whose name I didn't remember. And then my eyebrows nosedived, seeing Noah hand Rika a drink. But she waved it off, refusing it. I turned back around, scowling ahead. Good. If that little lesson with Miles and Astrid hadn't taught her to get her own damn drinks, or at least get them from me, then I was going to beat her ass. The last fucking thing I ever wanted to imagine was what almost happened to her while I was away at college. We drank our beers, leaning back, relaxing, and watching the action around us. Damon lit a cigarette and stared at the floor ahead, watching a girl dance as she eye-fucked and taunted him. Will pulled off his sweatshirt and poured beer after beer down his throat, while Kai kept turning his head, stealing glances toward the door where we came in. I knew he was watching Rika. The muscles in my arms tightened, and I stared ahead, trying not to care. No one comes between friends, least of all a woman. I heard light laughter and looked up, seeing Rika around the booth and pull her sweatshirt over her head. She wore a huge smile as she tossed it at the empty space next to me and followed her friends as they pulled her to the dance floor. I breathed harder. That tank top was killing me. I could still make out a few small blood stains from Miles, but it was barely noticeable in the dimness of the surroundings. A good inch of her toned stomach showed, and the thin straps of her gray tank barely gave her tits any support. It left almost nothing to the imagination, showing off her ample chest and sexy fucking body. Her hair flowed down her back, and her round ass was perfect in her jeans. I could almost feel her straddling my lap. Fuck. Lightning hit low in my stomach, getting me hard, and I grunted under my breath, trying to clear my fucking head. Laurel's fire breather started, and she and her friends made their way to the middle of the floor, right under the hole in the roof where the rain drifted in. The slow, sonorous tune wrapped around my dick, filling it with heat as I watched her move to the beat, pumping her hips and arching her back like she knew exactly what would jack me up and get me ready. Damon tore his eyes away from the girl on the floor, breathing out a cloud of smoke as he started watching Rika instead. She laughed, letting that friend of hers rub up on her, as they both moved in sync, lost in the music. I might be jealous if it wasn't so hot. And he didn't have a chance with her anyway. Her little glances at me across the breakfast table had more heat in them than the way she smiled at him. Will leaned his elbows on the table, watching her as well, and I didn't spare a glance at Kai to see if he was staring. I knew he was. Who wouldn't? The deep beat filled the room, carrying into the rafters, and I watched as she rolled her hips nice and slow, sliding an arm around his neck behind her, as her girlfriend came up in front of her, and the three of them started grinding together. I shifted in my seat, liquid heat rushing to my groin. Holy fuck, Damon breathed out, turning around to face us. Will's wide eyes glanced to us as well, and I could tell he was as turned on as I was. There's no way Trevor can handle her, Kai stated. A grin tugged at my jaw, but I didn't let it loose. No. My brother wouldn't have the slightest clue what to do with trouble like that. He could never give her what she needed. I stared at her, seeing her hips sway in small, sexy movements to the music, and then she laughed, pulling out and switching places with the girl. The light rain falling through the roof made her skin glisten, and she closed her eyes, holding her hands up in the air and losing herself to the music once again. Michael? I heard Kai's voice. You're looking at her like she's not 16, man. I shot him a look, a little amused, before turning my eyes back to Rika. It wasn't a warning, simply a tease. This suburb wasn't the least bit exciting, and teenagers didn't have much else to do except fuck every chance they got. We'd all had sex long before we were 18. And we were all looking at her like she wasn't 16. Well, you know what I say? Damon chimed in, blowing out a stream of smoke. As long as they're old enough to crawl, they're in the right position. Will scrunched up his face. Oh, you're sick, he said, laughing. I shook my head, ignoring the stupid remark. Damon was fucked up. Sure, he was joking, but there was also always some truth to anything he said. Women were as inanimate as rocks to him. Something to be used. Will and Damon finished off a few more beers, and people came over to say hi and catch up. Since I'd been away all summer, training and traveling, I hadn't seen anyone in a long time. Hopefully spirits were higher now with the Devil's Night festivities to give everyone a small high and remind the team who they used to be. I set down my drink, listening to Will and Kai talk to a few people standing around the booth. But when I glanced up to check on Rika on the dance floor, I instantly grew uneasy, seeing that she was gone. Scanning the area, I found her friends still dancing, looking like they were getting pretty hot. And then I turned my head, finally spotting her climbing the stairs to the next level. Just then, she turned her head, locking eyes with me over her shoulder as she continued to climb. I stood up on the seat and hopped over the back of the booth, landing on the floor. I kept my eyes on her back as I followed her up the stairs, past loiterers standing about, and turned right, making my way up another set of stairs. The space was now completely empty of people and prying eyes. The metal grate flooring under me led to a large window near the left corner, and I saw her standing there in the dark, gazing out into the night with the music and noise two stories below and far away from us. What the hell was I doing?
I like my house from here, she said quietly. You can see the lanterns. It looks almost magical.
I came up to stand behind her, looking out into the darkness. Sure enough, you could make out our homes in the distance, since they sat at a higher elevation. The houses weren't visible, shrouded in trees as they were, but the estates were well lit and clear. In reality, it was about a half mile between her house and mine, but from here it looked like only a few inches.
"Thank you for tonight," she offered. "I know it doesn't mean anything, but I felt good for the first time in a long time, and excited, scared, happy."
She trailed off, and then finished in a quieter tone.
"Powerful."
I looked down at her, shadows of rain dancing across the light hair on top of her head. Rika was a lot like I was a few years ago, confused, caged, and corruptible. The most valuable lesson anyone learns in life should be learned as early as possible. That you don't have to live in the reality someone else had invented. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Ever. Redefine normal. None of us know the full measure of our power until we start pushing our boundaries and pressing our luck. And the more we do, the less we care what others think. The freedom feels too good. I breathed in the hint of perfume her body still held, feeling high with need. God, I wanted to touch her. It had been building all night.
"I wonder what it's like to be you sometimes," she admitted. "To walk into rooms and have respect. To be so loved by everyone."
And then she turned her head to the side, looking up at me with those big blue eyes, begging me
to want something and take it.
Jesus.
"You were watching me on the dance floor," she whispered. "You never look at me, but you were watching me tonight."
Pain twisted my gut, struggling to resist, but it was no use. I slid my hand around the front of her neck anyway and pulled her back into my chest, holding her tighter than I should. "How can I not?" I breathed in her ear, squeezing my eyes shut. "You're getting very hard not to notice." She whimpered, arching her body and pressing her ass into my cock. I opened my eyes, seeing her tits jut out, and I couldn't take it. Moving my hand into her hair, I fisted it at the back of her scalp and pulled her head back to me, her full, parted lips begging for mine. She moaned, sending all of my blood straight to my dick. I should tear away. She was only 16. Fuck! I hovered my lips over hers, sliding my other hand over her chest and feeling her jerk when I cupped her breast with my hand.
"Michael,"
she groaned, breathing hard and squeezing her eyes shut. "So soft," I whispered over her lips, feeling the warmth of her breath as I kneaded her in my hand. "My brother thinks you're his. And all I ever did was try to deny that I wanted you for myself." She licked her lips, trying to dart up and catch mine, but I pulled back, hiding my smile as I played.
"Michael,"
she whined, sounding desperate. "Is that true?" I pressed. "Are you his?" She dragged her bottom lip between her teeth, shaking her head.
"No."
I darted out, catching her bottom lip between my teeth and sucking it into my mouth. I exhaled hard, my cock growing in my jeans as I went crazy, kissing a trail over her cheek and to her ear, getting lost in her scent and warmth. But as soon as I dived into her neck, she jerked away, capturing my lips with hers and kissing me deep and hot. God, she tasted sweet. Such a good girl, I growled in a whisper, flicking her lips with my tongue. Say it, Rika.
I'm a good girl,
she panted, her voice shaky. And I'm going to fuck you up, I finished, taking my hand off her breast and gripping her hip. Diving down, I covered her lips with mine, eating her up and tasting her, her tongue meeting mine in more heat and fucking lust than I had ever felt for anyone. My body was on fire, and I was gone, completely lost in her mouth and the way the buzz under my skin traveled across my face, down my neck, warming my chest. So many times of needing to be close to her, talk to her, see her smile at me, and now I had her in my arms. I never wanted to let her go. Nothing, nothing had ever felt this good. She nuzzled into my body, sucking my bottom lip and giving it to me good.
I know what you feel like now, she teased, hovering an inch below my lips and remembering what I had said today at the cathedral.
I grinned, jerking her ass into me and hearing her moan at what she felt. You haven't felt anything yet. Turning her around, I lifted her by the backs of her thighs. She grabbed my shoulders as I lifted her up and guided her legs around my waist. Walking to the corner, I sat her down on the railing with the wall not far behind her. She wrapped her arms around my waist as I pressed myself between her legs. Rubbing her body up against mine, she flicked my top lip with her tongue and then left my mouth, trailing kisses and small bites down my jaw and neck. Jesus, I gasped out, moving a hand to her breast again, my heart pounding like a fucking drum. Sliding her hands under my sweatshirt and shirt, she ran her fingers up my abs, making me shiver.
The car,
she gasped out, reaching for my belt and trying to work it open.
Please?
I gripped her hips tighter, blinking long and hard. Rika, I struggled, taking her hands away from my jeans. Shit.
I want to feel you,
she pleaded, taking my face in her hands and kissing me again. But I shook my head. Not in a car. She pressed her chest into mine, speaking low against my lips.
I can't wait. I don't want to lose this moment. It doesn't matter where it is.
No, it didn't. But this was where shit got complicated. I was only home for the weekend, and then I'd be going back to school. If we had sex now, it would just make everything more stressful for her when it came time to be apart. And even though I had no intention of keeping my hands off her, going that far wasn't right. Not yet. She was too young.
Come on,
she taunted, a small smile peeking out as she nibbled my lips. I shook my head. What am I going to do with you? I asked. She smirked.
I can't wait to find out.
I laughed quietly, taking her ass in my hands and leaving a trail of kisses down the side of her face to her lips. We need to go slow, I told her.
How slow?
I pulled back so she could see the seriousness in my eyes. I won't touch you until you're 18. Her eyes rounded.
You can't be serious. That's more than a year away, she pointed out. And you're touching me right now.
I cocked my head, my fingers tightening around her ass. You know what I mean. But she pulled me in, closing her eyes and resting her forehead against my lips. She looked as desperate as I felt.
You've had sex with 16-year-old girls, Michael,
When I was 16, I clarified. And don't compare yourself to them. I took her face in my hands. You're different. Our lips met again, and her fucking hands and body got possessive, rolling into me, feeling me, gripping me. She held my hips, pressing me between her warm legs, and I lost my breath, knowing how goddamn good it would feel inside of her. Christ, I breathed out, pulling my mouth away. Stop it. There was no way I was going to be able to stay off her for a year. She was almost 17. Maybe that was good enough.
You won't be able to stop yourself,
she whispered against my jaw, looking up at me with thoughtful eyes.
This is what we were built for, Michael. You and me.
She left soft, slow kisses along my jaw and down my neck, and I felt my arms break out in chills. I wrapped my arms around her, holding her tight and looking down into her eyes. We've got to keep this quiet, okay? I told her. Just for now. I don't want my family to know. She looked at me, puzzled.
Why?
You're still at home, and they watch you like a hawk, Rika, I explained. My father hates me. I'm away at school, and he'll use my absence as an advantage to work you over if he knew I wanted you. And then I threaded my fingers into her hair, holding her nose to nose. And I do fucking want you. I played with her mouth, nibbling her lips. But he wants you for Trevor or some shit, I continued. If they don't know about us, they won't interfere. We need to wait until you graduate and you're out from under them. She pulled away, looking pained as she pushed my hands down off her.
That's a year and a half away, she argued. I'm not asking for a relationship, but I...
She paused, searching for words.
I don't want to hide the way I feel either.
I know. I hated it too. If she were off at college with the freedom to come and go as she pleased, and out from under the influence and pressure of my father and Trevor, it wouldn't be an issue. Sure, let them know. I wouldn't give a shit what they had to say about it then. But the day after tomorrow, I'd be 1,000 miles away again, and with basketball season approaching, I wouldn't be home until winter break, and then not again until probably summer. It would put her under too much pressure, and I didn't trust my father or Trevor, especially Trevor. Believe it or not, it's best, I assured. My father would put pressure on you, and I don't want you dealing with it without me there. There was disappointment, but also a little anger in her eyes. She needed to understand that I wasn't trying to piss her off. Her age was an issue, and it made everything complicated. And that also scared me, because I had no damn clue what she and I were. All I knew was that we were the same. Did that mean I'd fall in love with her, marry her, be faithful, and live the same day over and over again in this fucking suburb? No. She and I were built for something different. I would piss her off, I'd be difficult, and I'd be just as much of a nightmare to her as a dream. But after nearly 17 years of this pull with her, I knew one thing. I would always circle her. It never stopped. Even when we were kids, if she moved, I wanted to move. If she left a room, I wanted to follow. My body was always aware of where she was. And it was the same for her. I dipped down, brushing the strap of her tank top off her shoulder and trailing kisses over her skin. And I want you to stop sleeping at my house when I'm not there too, I demanded. I don't want Trevor trying anything with you. I grabbed onto her lobe with my teeth, dragging it out, but I stopped when she didn't respond. I felt her go cold, not making a move or a sound. Releasing her ear, I brought my head up and looked down at her, seeing her flex her jaw with clear displeasure written across her face.
"Anything else?" she snipped. "I have to shut up and be quiet while you act like I don't exist when I'm in the same room, because no one can know. Now you get to dictate when we have sex, and now where I sleep?"
I straightened my spine, hardening my muscles. She had a point, but it was the way it had to be. I wanted my family ignorant so they wouldn't fuck with her, and there was no way I'd trust my brother not to try to crawl into her bed at night. No fucking way. She tipped her chin down, shooting me a defiant stare.
"I have to wait and pine for the rare weekend when you don't have a game and happen to make it home," she continued, "while you get your drones at Thunder Bay Prep to watch me while you're gone, making sure to inform you of my every move."
My jaw tugged with a smile I couldn't help. She'd constantly surprised me tonight. She was a lot smarter than I thought she was. Okay, maybe I'd planned on getting Brace and Simon to keep an eye out. Make sure no one fucked with her. Or fucked with what was mine.
"And what about you?" she went on. "Will your bed be just as empty as mine all that time you're away? College parties, away games, spring break with the guys in Miami Beach?"
I narrowed my eyes, searching hers. "Do you think anyone would be as important as you are?" She shook her head, shooting me a sarcastic smirk.
"That's not an answer."
And she hopped off the railing, brushing past me. But I reached out, grabbing her upper arm.
"What do you want?"
I asked, my voice turning hard.
"Huh?"
Her expression suddenly turned sad, and she dropped her eyes.
"I want you," she choked out. "Forever I've wanted you, and now I feel..."
She looked up, her eyes glistening.
"What?"
I bit out.
"Dirty," she finally answered. "I felt like your friend tonight. You saw me, you liked me, you respected me, and now I feel like a simple, stupid girl, a dirty secret that needs to sit quiet in a corner and wait for your word to speak or move. I don't feel like you're equal anymore."
I released her, letting out a bitter laugh as I turned away.
"You're such a kid. A fucking kid.
Goddamn insecurities and tantrums." It was a year. She couldn't wait a fucking year.
"I'm not a kid," she stated. "You're just a coward. At least Trevor wants me more than anything else."
I exhaled hard, every muscle in my stomach tightening and burning as I glared at her. I didn't think. I grabbed her by the arms and pushed her into the railing in front of the window, hovering down over her face, nearly nose to nose. I breathed hard, wanting her so goddamn much. But I was pissed beyond everything right now. She had the balls to throw that in my face. Her face twisted up, and she whimpered,
"You're hurting me."
And I realized my fingers were digging into her arms. I relaxed my hands, trying to calm down, but it was no use. She was right. I was a coward. I wanted everything and to give up nothing. I wanted her waiting for me and only me. I didn't want to deal with the stress my family would put on her or me. I didn't want any opportunities for my brother to win her over while I was gone. But what was she going to get out of me? Was I enough? Or was my father right? Was I not worth a damn? Even if I just admitted it to myself, I'd hurt her. She was too young. I was away all the time, and for the first time in a long time, I didn't like myself. I didn't like my reflection in her eyes. She had too much power over me. I pushed off her, backing up. "This was a mistake," I bit out, scowling at her. "You're pretty and you have a pussy, but other than that, you're not special. You're just ass." Her eyebrows nosedived, and her eyes pooled with tears, looking broken. No one made me feel like shit for who I was, and ripping out her heart wasn't going to be enough. It needed to be crushed, so she'd never pull that shit again. I grabbed her shoulders, shaking her, and hearing her cry out, "You hear me?" I growled in her face. "You're not special. You're nobody." And I released her, twisting around and charging down the stairs as my stomach rolled. My chest hollowed, and I sucked in air, struggling to breathe. I couldn't look at her. I couldn't see her pain and face it. So I bolted. Making my way over to the booth, I dug my keys out of my pocket and tossed them on the table. "Make sure Rika gets home," I told the guys, unable to hide the anger on my face. "I'm walking." "What the hell happened?" Damon demanded, seeing how pissed I was. But I just shook my head. "I just have to get out of here. Get her home." And I left the three of them sitting at the table as I pulled the hood over my head and left in the rain.
Chapter 18. Erica. Present. Had to get back to the city. Your car is outside. I stared down at the text Michael had sent me 4 days ago when I'd woken up in his bedroom alone. Filthy, bruised, sore, and alone. There'd been nothing from him since then, and I hadn't seen him either. After our little trip to the catacombs, he must have gone over to my house and picked up my car for me before leaving and texting me from the road. How could he have just left me like that? I'd heard on the news that his team had gone to Chicago for an exhibition match before the regular season started, but I saw the lights in his penthouse on this morning, so I knew he was home now. But despite the fact that I knew better, I was still hurt. Finally, having him, feeling him inside, was something I hadn't been able to push out of my head the last 4 days. It was better than I ever imagined. He should have woken me to say goodbye, or called to see how I was, at least. I'd just lost my house, and I still couldn't get a hold of my mother, even though I'd been dialing for days. I also had no luck getting a hold of Mr. and Mrs. Crist on their cell phones either. If I didn't hear from anyone by tomorrow, it was time to go to the police. My mother never went this long without calling. I stuffed my phone back in my purse, picking out one of the books of matches I'd put in there when I brought the box back with me from Thunder Bay. I slid open the lid and inhaled the scent, a quick moment of relief hitting me before it was gone. Putting it back in my bag, I continued down the aisle of the used bookstore, perusing old sci-fi paperbacks and trying to distract myself. I'd be damned if I was the one to call him. "Hey," I heard a voice call out. I turned, seeing Alex approach me with a hand in her jeans pocket and a smile on her face. "I saw you through the window and thought I'd say hi. How are you doing?" I nodded. "Fine. You?" She held up her hands and shrugged. "Every day's an adventure." I laughed under my breath, turning back to the books. With her profession, I could imagine that it was never boring. I turned my head again, looking at her. "Hey, thanks for the ride the other night. I know we just met and all, but..." "Oh, it's no problem," she cut me off. "Thanks for driving. I don't usually drink so much." Her eyes fell, looking absently at the books as she gripped the strap of her bag. Just like me, she must have just finished with classes. "Are you okay?" I asked. She shook her head. "Just the usual. I'm hot for someone, and he won't touch me because I sleep with other guys for a living." She rolled her eyes. "What a baby." I smiled with her, but it was kind of sad, actually. So he knows what you do then?
Yeah,
she replied. He was at the party, which was why I was drinking. He won't even look at me.
Well, you must know people, I guessed. You must have made connections in your line of work. Friends. Maybe someone can get you a different job.
There's nothing wrong with what I do, she retorted, her voice turning cold. I stopped and turned to her, guilt creeping into my chest. That wasn't what I'd meant, but it probably sounded like it. I was just trying to see a solution in the situation. She cocked her head, thinning her eyes with a challenge. Someday, I'm going to own a building like Delcor and drive a hot car like you, she told me, and I will have gotten it all on my own. And I'll do it while flipping the middle finger at everyone, including him, that looked down on me. Her voice was hard and strong, and even though I might not understand how she did what she did, I also knew I would never have to. I didn't know what it was like to make hard choices. Her lips curled as she continued, I'm going to fuck my way through school, and anyone who doesn't like it can go to hell. I pursed my lips, letting out a small grin. Okay. I accepted and took the hint to shut up about it. But before the hot car throws you, my life hasn't exactly been a party either. Her eyes softened, and she leaned forward, reaching out her hand and running a finger down the scar on my neck. I thought as much, she allowed. And I stared at her, feeling like she knew me without me having to say anything. It was weird. When I first saw her with Michael, I'd judged her. I'd written her off. She was a bimbo, brainless, chasing fame and money. But I was the asshole. We weren't so different. It's odd to see how no one is really human to us until we talk to them and realize there's barely any separation between who we are and who they are. She may have wanted what I had, and I may have wanted less, but we were still both struggling no matter the shoes we walked in. Well, she let out a breath and smiled. I've got to run. Have a good weekend if I don't see you, okay? I nodded.
Yeah, you too.
She turned around and walked down the aisle, disappearing around the corner. I think I'd made my first friend in Meridian City, and for the first time in 5 minutes, I hadn't thought about Michael.
When?
I dug my phone out of my bag and checked the time. The Thunder Bay fire chief had been evading my calls all week, as well about the cause of the fire in the house. I needed to get home and try to get through again. Taking the three books in my hand that I'd already picked out, I walked for the front of the store, heading straight for the register. The sales clerk rang up the items and put them in a bag. Okay. That's 3758, please. I swiped my card and handed it to her with my ID to verify. But she didn't take it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She looked at her screen, narrowing her eyes in confusion.
Your card's not working. Do you have another one?
I shut my eyes down, seeing card declined on my screen as well. My heart started to beat faster, and my entire face warmed, embarrassed. That had never happened to me before.
Oh,
I stammered, digging in my school bag for my wallet and taking out another card.
Here, maybe you should try. I smiled. I'm probably doing something wrong.
Which was a ridiculous notion. I was a skilled shopper and a proud graduate of the Christiane Fane and Delia Christ University of How to Spend Money. I knew how to use a damn card. She swiped it and waited a moment before handing it back to me and shaking her head.
Sorry, hon.
My heart dropped in my stomach.
What? Are you sure your machine's working?
She hooded her eyes, looking at me like she'd heard that one before.
I'm sorry, I blurted out, completely baffled. This is just so weird.
It happens, she shrugged. Struggling college student and all. We have an ATM over there if you'd like me to hold the books. She pointed to the windows behind me, and I saw the machine sitting in the bookshop's cafe area.
Thank you,
I said, leaving the bag with her and walking briskly over to the ATM. How could my cards not be working? I'd had one since I was 16 and started driving. When I left for college, my mother let me get one in my own name to build credit. I also had my debit card, but our accountant preferred I use that for food and gas, only to track my expenses a little better. I'd never had a problem with any of them. Ever. I swallowed the dryness in my mouth and slipped my card into the machine, punching in my PIN. I went to hit withdraw, but I stopped, thinking better of it. I hit account balance instead, and my heart immediately thundered in my chest. Zero. What? I burst out, tears stinging behind my eyes at seeing my checking account balance. This isn't right. It can't be. I began pushing buttons, my hands shaking as I went back out and checked the balance of my savings account instead. That balance also read zero. I shook my head, tears pooling. No. What the hell is going on? Grabbing my card out of the machine, I stormed out of the bookstore, leaving the books behind, and charged down the street. I rushed home as a thousand knots tightened in my stomach. One card not working? Fine. None of my cards working and my bank account empty? My mind was racing. Was the jewelry shop in trouble? Had our accountant not paid our taxes and our accounts were now frozen? Had we been in debt? As far as I knew, everything had always been fine. Mr. Christ had handled the business and properties, and whenever I talked to the accountant, our finances were in great shape. I dug my phone out again and dialed our family's accountant, who also handled the Christ's accounts, but all I got was a message that he was gone for the weekend. I continued down the street, sweat breaking out across my back, as I tried dialing my mother, Mrs. Christ, and even Trevor. I needed to know how to get in touch with someone who could help. But no one was answering. What the fuck is going on? Why can't I get a hold of anyone? Richard, the doorman, saw me approach and immediately held open the front door of Delcor. I whisked through, ignoring his hello and making straight for the elevator. Once I got upstairs and in my apartment, I dumped my bag and started up my laptop to log into my accounts. I couldn't wait until everyone was back in the office on Monday. I needed to find out what the hell was going on now. As I brought the internet up, I dialed Mr. Christ's office, knowing he worked late and that his assistant would most likely still be there as well. It was only just after 6. Hello? I rushed out, cutting off the woman as she answered the phone. Stella, this is Rika. Is Mr. Christ in? It's urgent. No, I'm sorry, Rika, she replied. He left for Europe a few days ago to join Mrs. Christ. Can I leave a message for him? I dropped my head in my hand, gripping my hair in frustration. No, I... Tears started to spill. I need to know what's going on. Something's happened with my accounts. I don't have any money. None of my credit cards work. Oh, dear, she burst out, sounding a little more concerned now. Well, have you talked to Michael? Why would I talk to Michael? Because Mr. Christ transferred power of attorney over to him late last week, she pointed out, as if I should have known. Michael is currently in charge of everything until you graduate. I stilled, my eyes widening. Michael? He controlled everything now? I shook my head. No. Rika? Stella asked when I didn't say anything. But I dropped the phone away from my ear and ended the call. Tightening my fingers around the cell, I hardened my eyes and clenched my fucking jaw so hard my teeth ached. All the money my father left us, all the money we earned from our property in the shop, he had the deeds to everything. I darted my hands out, swiping the laptop off the island and pushing it to the floor where it tumbled and crashed. No! I screamed. My stomach rolled and I felt sick. What the hell was he doing? I knew it was him, but why? I wiped away my tears, anger charging through my veins now. I didn't care whatever he was up to and why he did it. God, I didn't care. I hopped off the stool, slipped my phone in my pocket, and grabbed my keys from where I'd dropped them on the floor, racing out of the apartment.
I didn't even bother grabbing my purse before I locked the door and took the elevator down to the first floor. As soon as the doors opened up again, I charged out and headed straight for the front desk. "Has Mr. Crist come home yet?" Mr. Patterson popped his head up from his computer and looked at me.
"I'm sorry, Miss Fane, I can't tell you that," he said. "Would you like to leave him a message?"
"No," I shook my head. "I need to know where he is right now." But he just frowned, looking regretful.
"I am sorry. I'm not allowed to give out that information."
I heaved a breath and pulled out my phone, bringing up my pictures. Clicking on one of Trevor, Mr. Crist, and me and May, I flashed him the screen. "Recognize the man in the middle with his arm around me?" I asked. "Evans Crist? Michael's father?" My voice turned sharp. "Your boss? My godfather?" His face fell, and I saw his Adam's apple bob up and down. I'd never played the "I'm going to get you fired" card before, but it was all I had. Now he knew I knew the Crists, so why shouldn't I know where Michael is? "Where is he?" I demanded, sliding my phone into my pocket again. He straightened, dipping his head down and not looking at me.
"He left about an hour ago," he admitted. "He and his friends took a cab to Hunter Bailey for dinner."
I shoved away from the counter, rushing out the front doors. Turning left, I ran down the city sidewalk, veering around other pedestrians and racing through crosswalks as I made my way down to the Gentlemen's Club several blocks from Delcor. I breathed hard, a light layer of sweat covering my stomach and back as I finally jogged up the stairs of the old stone building, my legs burning from the rush I'd made to get here. I was done thinking, done wondering and pondering. He'd stolen from me and my family, and my blood was burning. Fuck him. I entered the building and stepped up to the front desk. "Where's Michael Crist?" I demanded. The attendant, in his pressed black suit and midnight blue tie, squared his shoulders and narrowed his eyes on me.
"Well, he's dining right now, ma'am," he told me, and then I caught the flash of his eyes to the wooden double doors to my right. "May I help?"
But I was gone. I charged for the doors, not waiting to be turned away or told what to do. I grabbed both handles and turned the knobs, throwing the doors open.
"Miss!" the attendant exclaimed. "Miss, you can't go in there!"
But I didn't even hesitate. Screw their stupid no women allowed rule. I walked in, my skin buzzing under the surface and my heart racing with a new high. I twisted my head left and right, vaguely taking in the room full of men in their fancy suits, with their clinking glasses and cigar smoke sitting in the air above their heads. I finally halted, my eyes finding Michael, Kai, Damon, and Will sitting at a round table in the back. I stormed through the room, passing tables of onlookers and waiters carrying trays.
"Excuse me, ma'am,"
one of them called as I shot past. But I wasn't stopping. I charged over, seeing Michael turn his eyes on me, finally aware of my presence. But before he could say anything, I reached down and grabbed the bottom on the tablecloth and yanked it off, carrying all of the glasses, plates, and silverware with it.
"Shit!"
Will shouted. Everything crashed to the hardwood floor, and Kai, Will, and Damon shot back in their seats, trying to avoid the mess of food and drink spilling everywhere. I dropped the tablecloth and steeled my jaw, glaring into Michael's amused eyes as I stood up straight and demanded their fucking attention. The chatter around the room had stopped, and I knew all eyes were on me.
"Miss,"
a male voice charged, coming up next to me,
"you need to leave."
But I didn't budge. I stared at Michael, challenging him. He finally glanced at the man next to me and waved him off. As soon as he was gone, I stepped up to the table, not caring who heard me or who was looking. "Where is my money?" I growled.
"In my account."
But it wasn't Michael who answered. I looked at Kai, seeing a small smirk on his lips.
"And mine."
I twisted my head, turning my eyes on Will and seeing his cocky grin.
"And mine."
Damon added. I shook my